What I'm going to be sharing during this time period is something different. It's something that I had never really seen before, and that I'm still studying. And every day I spend hours, and that's the truth. Because I'm seeing that there's so much to this. To be honest with you, I haven't been nervous when I was going to share for years and years and years, but this subject is so mammoth that there's no way that I can spell it all out in one session or two or three. And so for that reason, I'm a little nervous because I don't have the ability to impart all that I've already been seeing. In other words, it's not enough time, which will leave us with maybe questions, and as it should. But I just ask you to just listen. This was really started with a scripture out of Matthew. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's Matthew 13. And this scripture in Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35, just got hold of me because I couldn't explain it with my human brain. And I saw that there was something in the heart of God and something in the plan of God and something that was beyond me and beyond our understanding. Just for interest's sake, how many of you here have heard me share on what we ended up calling the world of done? If you have, raise your hand. Okay. A fair amount of you. In this scripture, I'll read it to you. Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35. This is Jesus speaking. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. And this is Jesus speaking in parables, which the parables are the easiest thing to understand, or at least most people think they are. But to read this just hit me, and I thought, this is not based on this world. This is before the world, before the creation. It's not based on things that we know, that we can touch, taste, feel, that we can, by our wisdom, come and just explain it and it just be a simple truth or something like that. I mean, that's what hit me, was that it's more, much more than what I know. So, and my first time to share this was a couple of years ago in Ireland. And then last year in Ireland, I took it a little further. One of the things I said to the people then was, don't listen and assume that this fits into, because this is human nature. We listen to something and then we want to fit it into a compartment so that we can feel like that we're, you know, in the know. And then we're going to stop at when it's over with and explain, you know, the great wisdom before the world began to somebody who's, you know, doesn't know as much as we do. And I realize, you know, it's going to take a while. It's going to take an openness. It's going to take the Spirit of God. It's going to take the Spirit of God. So just to begin with, there's two major things that most Christians are familiar with. And that's Christ in you. Amen. That we ought to be real familiar with that one. Christ in you and you in Christ. And so with that in mind, I wrote down some what ifs. What if? Okay, here's my first one. What if your meaning of in Christ is misplaced? Not wrong, but what if it's misplaced? Next one. What if reality in God existed before creation? Not just that God existed before creation, but a reality in relationship to us. Okay. Next one, what if there was a wisdom before time? That means, okay, a wisdom before time is a wisdom that that the world didn't know. We didn't exist. We didn't know what God was like. We didn't know a world that wasn't a material world. I mean, we can go on and on and on. My point of saying these things is to help us maybe adjust to such a place that we will just go, okay, tell us, Lord. Tell us. We want to know. We don't, you know, and I don't have it figured out, but I have enough to know that there is much more for all of us to learn, including, especially me. And that's one of the reasons why I'm in fear and trembling. What if salvation happened before the cross? I didn't say it did. I just said, what if, you know. What if your interpretation of my words are not what I meant, but you judged me and them without giving it a chance? And what if there was a lot more scriptures that declare this? If there were, then would we need to at least have some explanation? And when I was in Ireland, the second trip sharing, I gave six scripture examples. How many of you kind of remember that were there in Ireland? Yeah. So I want to give you some scriptural examples, and I want you to think about what the scriptures are saying, because in reality, I haven't said anything yet except for what I don't know, okay? But I want you to listen to the scriptures, because this may be the Lord, and it may lead to something incredible for us from the Lord. The first one is, and how about I just read them and maybe read them once and then go over it again. This is, you can write down the passage though. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And it says this. This is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul. He said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God," and here is a word you need to keep track of, "in a mystery." In a mystery. The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Okay, there is a mystery. There's a wisdom, and the wisdom is hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I just got chills when that, because this is talking about God doing something before the world for our glory. Now, I drew an extremely cute little chart up here. Not really. The title being, "Where Did Everything Happen for You?" And I'm talking, when I wrote that, or actually I had Kelly, not our Kelly, but our Kelly, write it for me. Where did everything happen for you that really affected your life, that really changed everything, that really was the end all of what happened to you. So I drew this chart, and what does EP stand for? Eternity past. Thank you. Who was it? Somebody. Isaac gave me another one, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway, eternity past, okay? And we're heading toward eternity future. Okay, so this is your life. Okay? It's your life. And obviously you didn't fill this whole timeline, but here's the first step. Well, this is eternity past. Here's creation. Okay? Creation. And someone could say, well, that's where everything happened. That's where everything began. That's where... No, it's not. And we're going to give so many scriptures to prove that, it's going to blow your mind. This creation is not where it all started. Not even for us. We just read it right here, okay? I'll read it again. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. There is stuff going on here. Okay? So then Jesus came. He died on the cross. And any good, deeper life believer would say, well, there's where it all started. Or there's where it's all, everything happened for me for on the cross. And you've heard me teach that. And it did. But it did. But it always will be reality. And then you were born. Look how cute you look. Kind of got a big head, though. Don't you? I didn't realize that when I first saw you. Anyway, you were born. That's when it all happened, right? Yeah, this is where it happened. This is where everything happened for me, that now I'm going to live and walk and breathe and do all this kind of stuff. Okay? But then, you see the halo, right?
Yeah.
You see the two is born again. That's my weird way of putting it. So you got born again. That's it. That's everything. That's, I got born again. Come and join us. Da, 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 da. Okay. Amen. You got to be born again. You must. Jesus said that. You know that? Jesus said you must be born again. Okay. But he didn't say that's where it all happened for you. Okay. And then you die. You're in a casket here, laying down. Can you sort of see it? You can't. Here's the head, and here's the body, and here's the feet sticking up. And this is the casket. And if it moves, tell me if it's alive. Okay? So you died, and then you go to heaven, right? And then everything, here's where everything happens for me. You see, over and over, there's different points. There's different important points. And then you slip into eternity future. But what if I told you that for the most part, we probably miss the real thing? And it's wonderful. And it's powerful. I'm sitting up here shaking. I'm going to read this one again. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 7. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. All right, so that means that this thing goes all the way back to here before creation. Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
I mean, read it. I mean, don't want you to believe me, but I'm just trying to quote the scripture. that means that there is something amazing. And what we're going to continue to do is we're going to read a bunch of scriptures that maybe you never really noticed what it was saying. And it's going to start bunching up down here in eternity past, and that God was already at work before the creation even happened, much less before we were created. And he had something, I love the word in here, for us, for our glory. He was thinking about us then. He was thinking ahead. Okay. All right. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. By the way, wasn't that VTE just wonderful? And the music. The music. I think these kids got something, don't you?
Yeah.
They're, it's kicking. The baby's coming out. Yeah. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, there is something going on before the foundation of the world and has something to do with us, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, that's pretty cool, because it doesn't sound like it's us doing anything, because we're not even alive yet. You see what I'm saying? There's some good things already going on, because he's a good father and he's a good God and he's preparing in advance. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. There's the word. And I want you to notice, mystery keeps coming up. Okay. The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. This is not just saying he has this mystery and he's going to give it to you, although it's true, but it's going to be true in God to us. Don't look for an explanation, just ask the Holy Spirit. It has to do with him and the manifestation of that. Let's see. From the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, according to the eternal purpose. So there's an eternal purpose. This is not really eternal if you put creation unto the point where we die and then we're gone. That's not eternal. The eternity is before this, and the eternity is after this, that it's eternal. It keeps going. Does that make sense? But we think of our little, you know, it's, well, I got born again. This is eternity, or, you know. Or the creation, oh, if we hadn't been created. That's what I'm saying, too. No. Or if he hadn't come and died on the cross. Yes. But where does that come from? What does that mean? What is the fullness of that death on the cross and that life that came forth from there? So, I'll read verse 9 again. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him, which he purposed in Jesus. Okay, now I'm gonna throw you one of the big ones here. Okay, I'm gonna hit you with one of the big ones. What if, now we know that happened at the cross, right? Do y'all know, how many of you know that we were placed in Christ at Calvary? Okay, all seven of you, thank God. Okay, then this ain't going to be a big reveal. But this is talking about in Christ before the foundation of the world. And the scriptures that we're going to give, we're going to just back it up and back it up and back it up. In Christ before the foundation of the world. All right, so one of the things that we're going to have to deal with, you've got to deal with it. It's in the scriptures. One of the things you're going to have to deal with is this is going to keep saying that God put you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Wow. Pretty safe place. In fact, what did he say here? He said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I mean, this could be something that just so proves his placement and his plan for us before sin ever existed, before the world ever existed, that would give you such a confidence, an assurance that you are in that Son. Amen. That it didn't have anything to do with your works. Okay, I like this side over here. They woo-hoo. All right, there's more. So Ephesians 2 and verse 8 through 10. Okay, so here we come. It starts with Ephesians 2, 8, starts with, by grace you are saved. Y'all know that. How many of you know that scripture? By grace are you saved. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And so we go, oh, okay, praise God. Now, and we believe it, but we worry a lot about how many times we mess up or something. Do you know what I'm saying? Now let's read the whole scripture then instead of that part that we try to hold on to and say, oh, but by grace I am saved, by grace I am saved, by grace I am saved. Okay, so Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, it'll get plain, more plain. It'll get more plain than that, because I know your mind. I do. It'll slip right behind that and go, yeah, but. You know, I know. But he's trying, isn't he trying to give us boldness and assurance and joy and all of that? Yep, we'll see it even more. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we which believe do enter into rest. Okay. How many of you sometimes have problems with believing that you're entered into rest? How many? Raise your hand. For we which have believed. There is this belief, and we're going to see it. We're going to see that there is this place here, not just here at the cross. Yes, there's a reality clearly in relationship to it. It has to be. Amen? Amen? Jesus died on the cross. It has to be interwoven. Well, it is. There's no question about it. But all of these places, I got born again, so it's all done and I'm happy and, you know, no, there's more. There's so much more than Christianity. It's Christ. Okay, so I'm going to read Hebrews 4:3 again. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. See, we're trying to do the works now to get in to rest. Do you see the value of him already placing us in his son, the Father already placing us in his son, and what we believe is what that happened over here. Yeah. I'd like to say don't get excited because it's going to get worse. It's not. It's only going to get better. Okay. All right. So finish from the foundation of the world. Okay. So 1 Peter 1:19-21. Is anybody already amazed that there's this many scriptures talking about this? Okay. Well, we still got more. 1 Peter 1:19-21. Okay, so what is this scripture going to start talking about in verse 19? It's going to start talking about the precious blood. It's going to start talking about the Lamb. Amen, amen, right? Let's go focus right here at the cross, the precious blood and the Lamb. And let's, yes, focus on the precious blood, focus on the Lamb, but not here in the timeline, but over here in eternity past. Let's read it, okay? Starting with verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Folks, this thing on the cross is a manifestation of something already done over here in eternity. It says that. It says it. Okay. I hope y'all are writing down these scriptures, and I hope you'll go back and read them so that you can look at them and go, oh my God, it does say that. Yes. You know? Yes. If it's in the Word of God, we believe it. Amen. And I'm not twisting it, all these scriptures. I'm just reading them. Okay? So who foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God before the foundation of the world. This manifestation, that your faith and hope might be in God, not in you, not in your works. How many of you are perfect in here? Okay, I knew that would come from you. And I'm going to bring you up here right now. Don't be looking around. I depend on him to be this way. So that we he's a great kid, he is. Okay, so it talked about the as of a lamb. As of a lamb. Okay, let's go to Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation, book of Revelation, chapter 13, and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Not during the Jewish festival of Passover. That's not where it's directing your attention. Why would he want to direct your attention here except to begin to understand that is a manifestation of something that is so secure and so powerful that, you know, even the manifestation of it was just blew out the walls. Not counting the reality. You do know what a manifestation is, don't you? And I tell you, in this study, and we won't get into it tonight, but or probably even during this time, but the word manifestation or manifest or whatever, It's huge. So we have to learn to adjust to that word, which is a reflection or a shadow being cast by something else. You know, and this just came to me, but I'm probably going to be wrong on some of this, but I remember not all that long ago, but, you know, maybe a long time ago, They discovered one of the planets, I think it was that, or one of the moons of the planet, but I think it was the planet in our solar system, because at a certain juncture, it would kind of wobble and then come back around. And they said, there's something else out there. And when it gets to that certain place, the gravity of that thing that they can't see would make it move slightly and then come back. I'm not making that one up either. That's actually true. So what does that tell us? Just that story right there. It tells us that there can be things that we don't see that is having an effect on what we do see. A shadow is screaming there's something more real. Don't you want the real?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So he says, let's see. Where was it? Okay. Yeah. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right. Now, I don't know all the questions. I mean, especially if you're just first hearing this, all the questions that must come in your mind. I know all of them that came into my mind. A lot. Well, what about this? Well, what about forgiveness of sins? Well, what about that? I mean, I was... You know, but the more I did that, the more I'm searching the scriptures, the more I'm going, there it is. This shadow is telling me that there's something real. Something secure for us before the foundation of the world. All right. So, Revelation 17, verse 8. You know, see, it's the scriptures like this that scare us. Okay, it starts up, the beast that thou sawest was, you know, starts talking about the beast and this and that. And, oh, no, you know, and when the very scriptures are talking about security that God has provided before Satan ever showed up, before sin existed. Okay, let's read it. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. The book of life from the foundation of the world. That was correct. That was correct. Caitlin got it. She lifted her head from the scriptures and went, wow. Okay. Do I have the full explanation of all of these? I don't have the full, but I know they're the following a pattern. And that pattern is true. The pattern is true. So I'm going to throw out something now that, you know, hope it doesn't freak you out. What if the book of life had everybody's name in it from the foundation of the world? And the only way that you could be pulled out of that It talks about the foundation of the world. The book of life had names in it. But there are other scriptures, and I'm not going to get into it right now, that have an answer to that. If this is true, the scriptures are going to answer everything. We're just going to have to dig, especially if you've never heard anything like this before. I mean, that's part of why I'm shaken, because I don't want to mess anybody up. I don't want to get anybody off. And it'd be easy to listen to this and go, okay, Randy's finally gone off the deep end. No. I mean, that's why we're only reading scriptures. Do you get it? I mean, because I didn't put that in your Bible. It was always there. And there's more. We're still haven't finished. Just going through this. Okay. Revelation 1:8. This one doesn't exactly say it, except for it does on a certain front. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come. See, this other scripture is talking about the beast. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not. Okay, well, this is a little different here. Was and is to come. You can't go wrong anywhere on this thing if it has to do with Jesus, because he was and he is in our life right now and he is to come. You can't go wrong with that Jesus. And this is the Jesus we're supposed to be knowing, the one that took care of it before the world even began. Yes. A turtle, like what she said. Eternal, she said. Sorry. Absolutely. Eternal life. Eternal assurance. Okay? So, he's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the beginning and the ending. And when he's saying all of that, he's saying himself in relationship to us. Wow. We need to see Jesus more than just a guy who came 2,000 years ago. Amen? We would say, this guy who got born again up here on my chart, we'd say, well, he got born again and he's got Jesus and everything. So that's where everything happened for him. No. He's dead with Christ, but he's raised with Christ too. But you don't see it up here. You're going to have to go back to the cross. You have to go backwards to fully realize it. But even that, you have to go backwards to the finished of it all. Notice I didn't say the finished work. Because when God did that before the foundation of the world, there was no sin. There was no fall. There was no, you know, devil running rampant in the earth. There was just God. And he wrapped it up there to make sure that when all this stuff happened, we would be okay. He's called Father. He's called Father. Okay, so Psalm 19. Did I say 19? Where did I go? I'm sorry. I think I said the wrong scripture here. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. I got you close. Not. Psalm 90, verse 1 through 2. This is David. He's not really praying. He's just glorifying God as he is eternally and as he is related to this one. Okay? Here's what he says. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. All generations. Oh, that's your generation too. this here took care of you, not you here in this time period doing everything right and doing everything Christian and everything like that. He's not even looking for Christian in the sense he's looking for Christ. And he's not looking all the time in you either. He's looking over here. Now, I know that brings up something. Well, what about... Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get to it, you know, before the end of the age. Right now, we're just trying to understand this part. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. You're his God. David is saying, this is the one who's my God. Thou hast been our dwelling place. He didn't say, thou hast been my dwelling place, you know, because I'm David. And I'm special, and I do everything perfect. Well, he didn't do everything perfect. In fact, he did worse things than Saul, King Saul. Did y'all know that? He did. He did way worse things. But he had this God. Thou has been our dwelling place for all ages before the mountains were brought forth. You see where he's going with this? Okay, how many of you believe that David really knew the Lord? Raise your hand. Okay, can I get an explanation then? Do you believe this? Do you believe this is the God that he's known throughout all generations? And well, it is, whether we believe it or not. It is. From everlasting to everlasting. All right, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. So just so you know, we've already passed six scriptures that I read like the first time around. Also, do another favor here. Notice that we're getting this out of a whole bunch of different books. That should make you happy. You know, well, Randy's just found one book and he just, you know... He's going to milk that thing until... No, we are getting this from the Word of God. Old Testament, New Testament, you know. Hallelujah. All right, Jeremiah 1:5. Did I say that? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born... I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Okay, so we can say, well, this is Jesus. Or we can say, this is one of the prophets. But this is in direct line with him putting your name in the book of life, which we read before the foundation of the world. I knew you in the womb. I knew you before you were born. Okay? So this, if you're here and you're written there, but you're more than that, this is where you truly are by the life of Christ in whom you've been placed, then, you know, these things are not the factor that this is. Creation isn't even that factor. Salvation isn't even that factor. He's known you and consecrated you before all of that. All right. Okay, so let's just say, well, Randy, I don't know that this scripture is quite that or could fit into that. Okay, well, let's just keep looking. We might find some more scriptures. I don't mind looking. And I don't mind some of these. If someone comes back and goes, I just think you're wrong on this scripture. I mean, Randy, you just missed it, brother. Please don't talk like that. Just tell me I'm wrong. Okay. All right. 2 Timothy 1:9. Okay, everybody look up here. Fasten your seatbelts. Okay, let's read it. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, But according to his own purpose, he's got a purpose and he's going to do it whether you, whatever. And grace, notice the word grace, which was given us, this grace was given us, where? In Christ, when? Before the world began. Folks, salvation, I mean, look at that. I'm going to read it again. Okay, here we go. Who hath saved us? Amen. Okay. Saved, born again, right here on the chart. Right?
Yes,
except for, he already did something back here. Thank you. You're right. Okay. Who hath saved us and called us. Okay. With an holy calling, not according to your works, not according to our works. It's not according to our works. And if we think that it is on any level, we're always struggling with something that can never be fulfilled because it's already fulfilled. And it's already, the fulfillment has already been manifest at the cross when Jesus laid down his life there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Manifest. It didn't say for this purpose he came. We would say that, wouldn't we? For this purpose Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. No, he was met, this Jesus that has us in him. Like Jesus said, oh, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Right? That's their understanding. That's how they live. Well, you're in here and he's in you. All right. So, I'll read it again. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Because he's just a graceful God. Which was given us in Christ. Yes, it was. It's before the foundation of the world, and this is what I have believed. He placed us in Christ. All right. And by the way, most of the scriptures are saying that. So it voids all this out if he didn't. And then we're back on our own. Trying to stay afloat. Okay. Was given us in Christ before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Okay, so the gospel is not just Calvary. That's the manifestation of it. That's, as it were, a shadow cast from what he settled before. It says it in this scripture right here, before the world began. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know how y'all feel. I wrestled with this. I didn't want to get up here and say all this stuff, though I knew it was true and I saw it so many times and we haven't even finished yet. I saw it in the Word so much that I was just like, you know, because it's sometimes from certain angles, I just go, I must be crazy. Or alive in Jesus. By grace. By grace. So he says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. All right. So I made a little note on this one. I put, this verse starts with the standard salvation theme used throughout the Bible. He saved us. Number two, he called us with a holy calling. Number three, salvation is not based on works. That's what he said. Number four, it is given to us not just by Christ, but in Christ. And I put, but the fifth thing it states is that it was done before the world. These are New Testament scriptures. Is anybody, you know, feel kind of weird that you've read the Bible over and over and you never saw this? Well, I really feel that. It's like, where the heck was I when I'm going through all this stuff? All right. What, you want some more?
Yeah.
You like some more proofs? I think I've only got about seven. Oh, wait. Only maybe about 30 more. Well, you know, the Lord's good because he has to convince us because we're so hard-headed. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Here's one I really, really love. I love it. I love what's transpiring in this scripture. And, of course, it's in John 17. And what is transpiring in this scripture is Jesus, is about to go to the cross, right? He's about to go to the cross. And he's praying. What does a dying man pray? This scripture starts showing us. This is John 17, verse 24. He's talking about not just his disciples, but they that will come. Remember that. I'm sure you do. He says, John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also. Do you see that heart? That keeps coming up in the scriptures that we've read, that he's done this for us, that he's covered us. It hasn't died out. Before the world is one thing, because there is no sin, there is no devil, there is no world out of control. But even in the midst of all of this, he's still for us, and he's praying to the Father. Here's what he wants for him. Desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, yes, to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. He's wanting them to know the glory that he had with his Father in relationship to us, that they may see my glory, that they may enter into this. Not the glory of the cross, not the glory of the resurrection, not the glory of the healings, not the glory of all of the stories, the glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. I want them to enter into this eternal stuff. Eternal. Is Jesus beautiful or what? Oh, Lord. I would suggest that you just take a little bit of time to read over that one later on, because it's precious. Okay, Romans 16. Do you see? Romans now. We're in Romans. Romans 16. And just by the way, we make copies of all this, videos and audios. And if you want a copy, it'll be $500. We don't charge for our tapes or our videos and stuff. We freely give. Okay, Romans 16, verse 24 through 27. Notice how it starts. The grace of our Lord Jesus. Huh? What? The grace. I want my grace to be with me too. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Amen. This mystery. Which was kept secret since the world began. Wow. Folks, this is like Jesus standing up here, not at me, but like if he was standing right here and he's saying, I am telling you all the mystery. I'm opening it all up, and it all has to do with what I already did for you before you even existed, much less before you sinned. Or before sin ever was, instead of fighting all the sins and wrestling with the fears and I should never have done that, or I really messed up, or all this kind of stuff. You know, you say, well, is that justification for all of that? No, it's not justification. The justification is that he died and that he put us in before he died. But remember, this was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen? He put us in him. And one of the big important parts of this is the him that it's talking about is the Son, but it is the Son before creation, before sin. It is the pristine Son who was never saw sin. It didn't exist yet. Who was perfect and who had no, you know, there was no all this stuff that you had to deal with and introduced to all this sin and all this stuff. No, he was, in my notes, a lot of times I write it down as the pure Son, so we don't just think about Jesus of Nazareth. But one that was before all that, over here, that didn't have all of that stuff. And he put us in him that doesn't have all that stuff. The pure Son. It's incredible. It's incredible. I will, we'll do this one and then I think we'll end regardless. Oh, and I just want to thank the Holy Spirit. And your father who prayed for me, when I was shaking all over today and worried that I would mess this up or that I would somehow say it in a way that would make you see it wrong. I mean, I was about ready to break down and cry. And Paul just took my hands and he just prayed. And so thank you, brother. You were there, so you know. Oh, precious. Okay, so let's do this one. Romans 16, verse 24 through 27. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him who has a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is according to the revelation of the mystery. Meaning, it's not my gospel. Jesus died and rose again during this time period. He's saying, according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, my gospel, according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Somebody found this. The Apostle Paul found it. He's the writer of this book, and he found it. And he says, and he's going, you know, so may the Lord take care, you know, grace be unto you, and, you know, all of this stuff, and the ability to establish you. He's not trying to establish you as a Christian. He's trying to establish you in him according to the revelation of the mystery that was fulfilled before the foundation of the world. I mean, if there was a door right here and it went straight to God and you go, yeah, I know, I'm a man. And then all of a sudden the door comes open. And he goes, what are you crying about? He goes, would you just go, no, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. He's going to go, would you just shut up and come in? I know, you're right. Jesus would never tell us to shut up. It was the Holy Spirit. No. But I mean, there is a thing. We need to stop our minds from all of this old trails and paths that are not leading us to the Jesus that he wants us to live with and in forever. Throughout all generations. All right. I can't seem to get through these scriptures. Okay, before the world began, verse 26, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience of faith. And the faith is not, I believe that I can pick up a snake and it won't hurt me. You know, I mean, the things we use our faith for. He's what? But now is made manifest. A manifestation of this by Christ crucified, which happened to us, or the reality of it, 2,000 years ago. I'm dead with Christ. I don't have to die. I'm dead. You're not trying to die. You're dead. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. He's your life. You know? But that's true because of 2,000 years ago. But that 2,000 years ago is true because of all the way back to before the creation. This is revolutionary. And you're saying it would be revolutionary if you just finished reading the scripture. Okay. There we go. Verse 26. But now it's made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. You still glad you came? I am too. I'm glad I came too. Meaning, there really is, this is the honest truth, folks. There's so much to this. This is the honest truth. I'm just reading a few scriptures. I don't know where we're going to get, you know, in the next few days or whatever. I don't know how far we're going to get. But I'm telling you, there are stories and there are pictures in the Bible that are just stories instead of just scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? And they follow this pattern. They follow this pattern. It is God and it is His mystery, and He's trying to unveil it to us so that we can be with Him where He is. So be in prayer for me and all of us. Next time I share, and I see Francine is on. Oh my goodness, she's in Belgium, and she's up. Who knows what hour it is right now? It's almost 4 a.m. and she is there. She is. She and many of them there in Belgium love Jesus, and they're going after the Lord with all their heart, and they're on at all hours of the day and night, because they'll do anything to get more of Jesus and to get filled up in the Spirit, this Spirit. And so we talk about channels. What do we call them? Onions. What? I didn't hear. What was it?
Conduits.
Where did I get onions from? Which is an avenue. A conduit is an avenue to reach other people who might like to know that salvation isn't a work. It's all tied together. This is all moving together. There's music, and there's plays, and there's this and that, and there's preaching, and there's books, and there's just so much converging. It's converging. And we will, are we going to say more? Are we going to show the chart before this thing's over with? No. Okay. So on New Year's Eve service, on the New Year's Eve service, we usually have a big New Year's Eve night. And we are going to present, we've mapped this thing out. We've mapped the conduits, and we've mapped the pathways and what individuals can do and how they can get involved to just help it. You can do it from your own home. You can do it from, you know, it's not like, you know, we all have to be in this place. So I need to stop. Well, I faint, honestly. Okay. Anybody want to pray? And if you do, please come up here. Anybody like to pray? Close out.
I just heard Eliezer, and we're his Rebecca. And I just pray that eternity past, he is in us, and that he has, for this generation, that he has place in our hearts. That right now we just bow our hearts and just say yes to the eternal, to eternal past, eternal present, eternal future, to you, God, to the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we say yes.
Yes.
That which was from the foundation of the earth, Lord, before the foundation of the earth, we say yes. And grace has brought us there. And we say yes. We say your scriptures are true. And we just bow down and we say, for this generation, for me, Lord, for each of us, we say yes. We are your vessel. And this is a place where you can rest your head in our hearts. And just say yes, Lord, for Francine, for all those who are on Zoom, for everybody, Lord. We're just yours. We just say we're yours. And we're continuing to bow our heart when we're with each other. And in prayer, and we go over these scriptures. We will lie on these scriptures, Lord. They're from your heart, brought through a vessel. We will melt all our thoughts, Lord. We say it from the world of dawn. It's all done, Lord. And we want to know you there and live there. We just want to know your heart. But I want that eternity past is in us. And may you have presence and growing increase. May we hear you from talking through the corridors of generations of time. Speaking into our hearts right now. We walk through that door and we say yes. Just melt us, Lord. Melt our brains. And divide us. And let it be manifested. Let the cross be manifested and in and through us. Make it real. Make it not words. May these be love letters to you. May this prayer be a love letter. May it be real. May that eternal purpose, you know, Lamb of God. Inscribe yourself into us, Lamb God of life, the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen.